We are listening to a group that may not be quite as familiar as what we normally hear on WDYN radio. We are hearing the wonderful music of The Vocal Majority, America's premier pops chorus from Dallas, Texas, directed by none other than the remarkable Jim Clancy. This is Dr. Tom Hammett, host of a special broadcast entitled Christmas with the Vocal Majority. Let's continue with Christmas carols by the 125 men of Vocal Majority as they sing Caroling, Caroling.
Caroling, caroling, now we go, Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling through the snow, Christmas bells are ringing. Joyous voices sweet and clear, sing the sad of heart to cheer. Ding dong, ding dong, Christmas bells are ringing.
Caroling, 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 caroling.
Christmas is certainly a happy time of the year, and it's just around the corner. Jim Clancy reminds us it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Striped candy, nutcracker handy, kettle a bubbling, hot as can be. Snow clouds hang low and threatening, maybe it won't rain, it may. The brightest fireplace glows in every face, waiting for Christmas Day. Waiting for Christmas Day. Pine cones and holly berries, apples for you, apples for me. Red stripe of candy, nutcracker handy, kettle on the bosom, and hot as can be. Snow clouds hang low and threatening, maybe it will rain and bang. The brightest pine blaze glows in any face, waiting.
Vocal Majority is a group of over 100 men volunteering from all walks of life with varying degrees of musical talent and experience. They sing everything from barbershop favorites, classics, jazz, patriotic, popular standards, Broadway pops, and round out their library with a variety of sacred music. Officially, the Vocal Majority Chorus is the Dallas Metropolitan Chapter of the Barbershop Harmony Society. But as I told Jim Clancy, director of the chorus, I knew immediately upon hearing my first recording of the group, this is not your grandfather's barbershop chorus. Let's hear the chorus in the traditional carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Oh, come let us adore.
Now we hear the gold medal quartet Max Q singing, What Child Is This?
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Jesus the Son. Shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. The babe, the Son of Mary.
Sing a new king born today. him find a little nook in a stable all forlorn. And in a manger, cold and dark, merry little boy child was born.
Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new king born today. A man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
That man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
That man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Vocal Majority has performed in England, Scotland, and in Canada, as well as all over the United States. In its 30-year history, the Vocal Majority has sung for Presidents Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. The chorus is performed with numerous ensembles during the years, including the Four Freshmen, the Letterman, the Oak Ridge Boys, the Suntones, and the Texas Boys Choir. They've also joined many solo performances and concerts, including Glenn Campbell, Jimmy Dean, John Gary, Lee Greenwood, Jack Jones, and our good friend, Johnny Mann. Vocal Majority is primarily known for their a cappella music, but the group has sung with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra in the 1998 Olympic Centennial Park. That was for an audience of over 135,000 people.
Oh, how our roses
Thank you. as I wander out under the sky. How Jesus, the Savior, did comfort me. To save lonely people like you and like I wonder as I wonder out under the sky.
When Jesus was born,
you are listening to Christmas with a Vocal Majority, hosted by Dr. Tom Hammett, and this is Christian Radio WDYN Chattanooga 89.7 on your FM radio. In his tenure as director of the Vocal Majority, Jim Clancy has built an international reputation as composer, arranger, clinician, and vocalist. Clancy is known throughout the recording industry as America's most recorded bass singer, and this has been mostly in jingles and commercials heard on radio and television. He has recorded 25 albums with the Vocal Majority. Well, I have a very special guest on the program. Speaking to us all the way from Dallas, Texas, is the director of the Vocal Majority. Jim Clancy, you are a living legend.
Oh, but Tom, you are very kind.
Oh, what a great opportunity to talk to you live on my very first radio program. Welcome to WDYN.
It is a pleasure to be on WDYN, and it's a pleasure to be with you, Tom. Nice to hear from you.
Well, we're just so excited that we can have you here live on the interview and maybe probe and ask a few questions and let the listeners really enjoy the inside of the Vocal Majority.
Certainly.
I'll start off with, how long have you served as the director of Vocal Majority there in Dallas?
35 years, Tom. I began in 1974, and it's been It's been a great run, I'll tell you. Yes.
That sounds wonderful. Now, are you a native Texan?
Oh, now that sounds like a setup to me. Now, when you ask that question, I'm supposed to say no, but I got here as quick as I could. But the truth is, I am not, Tom. I was born in Shreveport, Louisiana, which is, what, about 18 miles from the Texas border. So we used to call Shreveport the capital of East Texas. But anyhow, I grew up in Shreveport.
So if the river had changed course just a little bit, you might have started in Texas.
Could have been.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great. Now, tell me a little bit about your family background and the musical things that happened around the Clancy household.
Well, Tom, it was always musical and full of music and laughter. Both my parents were very musical. Mother was a true professional. In fact, Mother really passed on an operatic career because she felt the call to be a minister of music. And boy, did she ever become one. She pioneered the graded choir program in the Southern Baptist Convention, and Mother was so talented, had a beautiful voice. We had a choir program of almost 700, and I was raised through that choir program and got most of my musical education, I think, probably the part that I value most, through Mother's choir program.
How about that?
My dad was very musical also. He was a businessman, but he directed the congregational singing in the church. He was one of the choir soloists, and so there's always been music in the family.
Well, you speak with a very lively voice. Tell us about the humor that you grew up around in your family.
Well, there was a lot of humor, all right. I think, as I said, music, laughter, we laughed with each other, we laughed at each other, a lot of jokes, and... We had funny names for our pets. You know, we had a cat named Tom Puster. We had an old mutt that we found somewhere that scratched a lot. So as a little kid, I named him Flea Bitus. Now, I tell you, people who have that ailment probably won't think that's very funny, but back then it was to me. But Tom, there was always, always a lot of humor and always good humor. A lot of love, a lot of laughter, and always a lot of music, just like your family, Tom.
Well, I was afflicted with a similar family.
Afflicted. Love it.
And yeah, I've got a friend that says he'd pay money to see all of my brothers together.
Oh, boy, I bet that would be something.
Oh, my. Well, back, I guess you came along through the 50s and 60s with a lot of the things that influenced you. What musical styles and which musical groups most influenced your taste and the music that you now produce?
You know, the earliest music, of course, the families would get together. We had a huge family, and we'd sing mostly kind of a barbershop-type harmony. But the first real vocal group that I recall that turned me on was, way back, the Sons of the Pioneers. I remember, I think they did an album, I've forgotten what it was called, but they did a lot of songs from the old, in fact, Songs from the Old West was also the Norman Luboff album, I think, that they did. But some of the Old West songs like that, the Sons of the Pioneers, Bury Me Out on the Long Prairie, Get Along Little Dogie, that's when I was like 8 and 9.
Now, that was a real smooth men's chorus kind of sound, too, wasn't it?
I tell you, it was, and they were good. You know, the Sons of the Pioneers with Roy Rogers were in a lot of Western movies. And then, of course, the Luboff, Norman Luboff singers, oh, boy, what a beautiful sound they had. And they did some of the Old West songs, too. But, Tom, the group that first just blew my lid off, when I was 11 years old, I heard... I guess probably it was It's a Blue World by the Four Freshmen.
Oh, my, what a standard.
Oh, it changed my life, Tom. I tell you, that was the kind of, we'd sung mostly barbershop harmony. We'd sung all of the beautiful songs through the choir programs and all of these, wonderful songs. Mom and Dad taught me some of the old, great old songs from, their early years. But when I heard the Four Freshmen, that was a new kind of harmony like I had never heard before. It was, I heard it later described as kind of, you arrange for them like you would Stan Kenton's trombone section.
Just real tight harmony and inverted chords.
Yeah, and I fell in love with it. That just made me decide, boy, if I ever get a chance to sing for a living, that's the kind of singing I want to do, and that's exactly what I want to do in my life.
I understand you attended Baylor University and North Texas State. Those are two pretty strong schools. You think they helped or hindered your musical development?
Well, I think they were influential. I really do. I think without either one, I may not have ended up in Texas at all, let alone, there might not have been a vocal majority. But I started to Baylor University, believe it or not, Tom, on a violin scholarship.
Wow.
And I played violin in the All-State Orchestra and all. And I had a scholarship to play, but what I found I liked better was playing fiddle. Now, as you know, that's the same instrument, just a different style.
Right.
But we formed a little group called the Baylor Troubadours, and in that group was a guy called Grady Nutt. And he was that. He wasn't.
We know Grady Nutt here in Chattanooga.
Do you really?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. Well, then you know he became the prime prince of humor later on, you know, on Hee Haw. But what a character he was, you know. And then I had a great time with that group. But then we formed a group of the more serious, you know, four freshmen kind of music, you know, with that kind of harmony finally, a group called the Forsythes. And we transferred together to North Texas State because they're kind of known for jazz and that, you know, that kind of singing. So that gave us the opportunity there. It gave me the opportunity to sing with some of the great lab bands of North Texas State, which is now the University of North Texas.
Okay, and there were a lot of professional musicians that went through that program, I guess.
Well, there were. I mean, that's where Pat Boone is from. Well, goodness, there are countless singers that went through that program. Just
okay.
Terrific music school.
Pat Boone is another good friend of Chattanooga. He does a lot of fundraising for one of our charities here in town.
What a great guy he is. I've heard, I've never had the pleasure of meeting him, but I've heard he's just literally a wonderful person as well as a great singer.
That's what I know. Well, that brings us up to, if you could put in a nutshell, just how did the vocal majority originate and develop through the years?
Well, this will help answer your last question, too. The vocal majority actually had its first meeting in 1971. And, wow. How do I say it in a nutshell? It's going to be a big nut, I'll tell you. It began with a meeting of 12 men who'd sung with different type of musical organizations, but had been really unfulfilled somehow, and all had a burning desire to, you know, be in a group that really did strive for excellence in singing and hopefully become the finest singing organization of its kind in the world. And the 12 of us met first in 1971. And in the beginning, it was all about singing good and wanting to win and finally accomplishing that goal in 1975. We won our first international gold medal. By then, we had 91 guys on stage.
Now, that's the big prize.
That's the biggest prize you can have in barbershop, and
wow.
It really is. And since then, well, we've had the good fortune of winning 10 more. But through the years, honestly, Tom, you start to realize that winning gold medals is really just a byproduct of the much more important things, and that's brightening the lives of people, touching their souls with our music. And we began to get letters from people that would write things like, "We played your music at our father's funeral, and it added comfort for our family." Or a letter that said, "We played your How Sweet the Sound CD for our mother, who was in the hospital, and it put a big smile on her face." You know, and a letter like that, it's worth all the gold medals in the world.
You realize you were reaching people at the heart level.
Exactly, Tom. That's the way we felt. And we all believe that if the music is really full of love, it can actually provide a healing power for those in need.
Well, one night down with the Atlanta Symphony Chorus, Robert Shaw said that leading a large chorus is like teaching elephants to toe dance.
I love that. I love that. I guess it can be a little like that.
And that leads into the question, if there's one extra amazing quality to your leadership as a director, it's that of musical phrasing. I don't think I've ever heard more controlled and expressive musical phrasing from any choir. How do you do that? Is it just a talent? Is it a gift?
Well, Tom, I'm complimented that you would even ask the question like that. I feel that I direct probably more from the heart than from the brain. I listen to music in my head all the time. I'm sure most arrangers would probably tell you that. But when I'm arranging for the vocal majority, I'll listen to a song sort of through back and forth in my own head. And finally, you know, when it's all completed, and it may be 2 or 3 days or it may be 3 weeks, then I write it out, and we make copies, and the vocal majority learns it and sings the song. That's kind of how it works. So by the time I pass out the music for the guys, you know, and again, I'm sure most arrangers would agree here, you pretty much have the interpretation and everything. You've heard the completed product through in your mind. And so it's a matter then of kind of teaching the chorus. But I think hopefully, Tom, first of all, I try to be true to the composer, the man who wrote the song, and not do anything. I think I ask myself, would the man that wrote this song, that wrote this beautiful music, this beautiful lyrics, would he be happy with the way that we're singing his song? And then, as I say, I direct from the heart, the way I feel it, the way I hear it in my mind, the way that it just really turns me on. And hopefully the men will feel that way about it. And if they do, then our audience is sure to feel that way about it too. But what I do, I don't give a lot of thought to. It's not something I read about or followed steps in a book or something. I think, and I know Johnny is this way, I just kind of do what comes naturally to me, Tom, the way I feel the music in my head, in my heart. And that's the way, you know, that's the way I teach it. That's the way I conduct it. And I always remind the men, it's kind of a warning, really, that, you know, before every performance, don't think you know everything I'm going to do when I direct this song, because in the heat of the performance and in the magic of the moment, I might do something totally different if I feel it at the time.
You so, just may get inspired there.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. So you and Johnny Mann have the gift to connect that heart to the gift and to the music, and you put just the right note at just the right time and the right voice, and you guys just create perfect music.
Well, that's what we try to do, and I'll tell you, I learned a lot listening to Johnny Mann. He was a little bit, you know, a few years ahead of me, and I admired so much his music and what he did as a director, the personality, the stage presence, you know, and all of that, you know, when, you know, it's so much more about providing music for people to listen to, because they can listen to your CDs, but when you're on stage, you have to entertain the people.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what they're seeing and what you're making them feel, and again, Tom, I know you already know this, but those are the important things. After a show, rather than hearing someone say, boy, you guys sang so well in tune, or what a beautiful blend, I love to hear, you know, see a look on someone's face and have them say, you know, you have brightened my life with your music, or, you know, something like that, or you made me feel so wonderful with your music. Thank you for, you know, that's just worth a lot more than, I think, just a music critique to me.
Well, I have seen you work on stage, and when you turn around and take your bow and that beaming smile across your face, it's just a love fest between the audience and you and the chorus.
Thank you, Tom. That's what we try to do, is establish a rapport with our audience, and if we can make them feel like they're really a part of that performance, then we've accomplished our mission.
I want to move on down, because this is where I entered the scene with the vocal majority. You know, I saw you live performing in Oklahoma City last March, and I just wanted to get your reaction to singing for 6,000 professional choir directors at the American Choral Directors National Convention. That's a pretty tough audience to impress.
Well, I'll tell you, I would be lying to you if I said we weren't a little apprehensive about that for the reasons that you stated, Tom. But I think, boy, I think when we went into it, you know, there's a certain stigma associated, I think, with barbershopping, especially in the arts community, when people, because of the old-style barbershop and the old-style, the picture of four guys standing around a lamp pole harmonizing Sweet Adeline, you know, there's a certain expectation there that the old barbershop, they connect that with amateurism.
And maybe so, a little of a twangy sound or something?
Exactly.
Okay.
So we knew what we were up against, but frankly, nothing we sang on that program would be something we could compete with on the barbershop stage.
Well, Jim, I want to move on to the most important question and topic of our conversation here, because this audience knows that the strongest proof of our true Christianity is our love for one another, our love for God, and our love for mankind. Tell us about your love of God and your love of people and how that affects your music.
Well, of course, I was brought up in a wonderful Christian home, Tom, and that has carried through my whole life. And, you know, Tom, it's all about love to me, love for our music, love of God, love for each other. I believe, and we believe, that love has to be at the center of everything we do. And even today, when I'm directing a Christmas song or some type of inspirational, spiritual kind of music, I make a connection with the guys on an individual basis, which is the thing I love most to do. That's the thing I love most about the directing. But, you know, these are men from all walks of life, Tom. They're many wonderful Christian men, men of different denominations, even different religions. But when we're singing those kinds of songs, I see a reflection of the same God in every face. I truly believe that God wants us to be the best we can be at any worthy endeavor, certainly in our singing, but always with a prevailing love. And I'd like to add one thing to that, Tom. Somebody said that when God determines our lifespan, he doesn't count the time we spend singing.
Well, that's quite a statement. Well, I know we want to get back to hearing more of the vocal majority here in just a second, but I do want to ask, how can our listeners order your recordings?
Well, just go online and go to www.vocalmajority.com.
That's one word there, right? Vocal majority, okay.
Vocalmajority.com. That's one line.
And I tell you, they're going to be delighted if they do order some of these. I think I have about a dozen of your CDs, and I just listen to them over and over.
Well, thank you, Tom. I think we have two inspirational CDs, one, How Sweet the Sound, and You Raise Me Up, especially that might be very popular with this audience.
Well, Jim Clancy, you are my buddy, and you know that I love you and your beautiful bride, Judy, and I've been a fan and will be a fan of Vocal Majority forever. Thank you so much for having this conversation with us today.
Tom, we've come to love you and Faye in a very short period of time. We thank you for introducing us to Glenn Draper and his wonderful wife, Lunell. What a sweet lady she is. And, of course, Johnny and Betty Mann. But give them our love. Would you please thank the station there so much for playing our music and allowing us this time together. And it's been a delight being with you, Tom.
Well, thank you so much, Jim Clancy. And I'm just so thrilled that Earl Friedenberg down here and Tom Snead at WDYN has asked me to come in and to host this program. And one of my good friends with the greatest men's chorus in America. And we just... thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom. It's been a delight.
All right, Jim. Goodbye.
Bye.
I'm dreaming tonight of a place I love even more than I usually do. And although I know it's a long way back, I
Thank you.
We continue with nostalgic thoughts of family and Christmases gone by with a real family favorite, White Christmas. Ah, the beautiful White Christmas. Let's listen now as Jim Clancy leads the men in Silent Night. Then we'll conclude the program with Handel's most famous and joyful chorus, Hallelujah.
Oh,
You have been listening to Christmas with a Vocal Majority, hosted by Dr. Tom Hammett. We welcome your comments by way of email at wdyn@wdyn.com, or you can mail us your comments at WDYN Radio, 1815 Union Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37404. From WDYN Radio and from our friends with the Vocal Majority, we wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas.
Hallelujah!